Visiting today with Dr. Courtney Burr at OSU, we've got the Women in Ag Conference that's coming up. So let's start off talking. I know you're going to be speaking there. So kind of talk to us a little bit about the Women in Ag Conference.
Sure. The Women in Ag Conference has been going on for many years. We had to take a hiatus for COVID, of course, just like everything else. Last year, we were back in person and we had a great turnout, and we're expecting the same again this year. There is a wide variety of topics. So we really structure this conference so that there is something for everyone, from the beginning farmer rancher to the more experienced farmer rancher. And I like to say farmer rancher because we're talking about a lot of different commodities. So whether you have cattle or you're interested in diversified agriculture, we will have something for everyone at this conference.
And when is the conference, and how do folks get registered if they'd like to get that little early bird registration?
Sure. So you can register online. The conference is August 4th and 5th in Oklahoma City. I do believe that there are rooms available at the conference hotel still. We have a block reserved. So it's a really great price for that. And it's a great opportunity to network with other women in agriculture and kind of hear about everyone's trade secrets and get some of those conversations going.
And you're going to be there speaking, as I understand.
Yes, I am doing a spot on diversified agriculture. And so I will be talking about incorporating honeybees in your operation, as well as poultry such as quail and chickens and laying hens and selling direct to consumers.
Well, it is pollinator week this week. So let's talk a little bit more about bees. You and I always like to discuss bees because, you know, sometimes I feel like bees are getting a bad rap, and it's getting a little bit better where people know, like, don't spray the honeybees. But what do you feel like people really need to know if they'd like to start, you know, trying to do better with bees?
Sure. So we actually have a grant that we've received to kind of help people with this. We are developing an online course for beekeeping. We also have a website that we're working on and putting more and more resources about beekeeping in general, as well as resources for learning about bees. One thing that I would say is if you see what looks like to be a giant ball of bees, go on Facebook or other social media and go to a beekeeping group and tell them that the bees are there. Most of us will jump at the chance to go pick up some free bees, and we'll typically come and capture those bees for you. So if you see what looks like a loose group of bees hanging out on a tree branch, contact a beekeeper. Don't reach for the spray.
Absolutely. And you're not just talking about, like, you know, farmers and producers doing bees. We can have backyard bees too now, right?
We can. I am a backyard beekeeper myself. So you definitely can have bees in your backyard as long as you're within your HOA restrictions. And so that's a really great opportunity. And so this online course will be open for the public. And so anyone can take that course once we have it developed in the near future.
And talk to us a little bit about, you know, we are now learning, and I feel like we're getting better about the education about bees, but talk about why it's so important that we protect the bees.
Sure. So there is a little bit of controversy around that statement. I do work with honeybees, and honeybees are not native to the United States. They are actually an invasive species, and they're classified as livestock, which is why, as an ag economist, I work with honeybees. They're livestock just like cattle or sheep or goats. There are native pollinators that are really important to the ecosystem, and a lot of the steps that we take to protect honeybees also help protect them. So things like making sure that you have plenty of diversified flowers in your yard. If you live in kind of a rural area, leaving some of those things that we like to mow down, like clover, for the bees to use is also really helpful. So there's a lot of steps that you can take, and there's a lot of information out there in terms of helping support the bee ecosystem. But there is a difference between the native bees and what I work with, which is typically the livestock, the honeybees.
So if we would like to plant flowers for the honeybees, what are some things that you recommend?
I think it just depends on the time of year. Honeybees do really like clover. They're very resourceful. And so I see my bees on all sorts of things. I don't have any data to back this up. They don't seem to really like my roses very much. But things like zinnias, sunflowers, anything that comes in sort of like a spring wildflower mix really could support a lot of different pollinators and would be a good choice.
Seasons like for bees?
So in the spring, it's our busy time of year. So in the spring, they're kind of getting ready to gear back up after eating down their stores in the winter. There's something called honey flow, which is when most of the flowers are blooming and the bees are very busy, and they're basically storing away honey. And honeybees produce more honey than they need to survive, and that's how we get the honey. So we're actually just taking away their extra stores that they don't need. And so as we near this time of year, it starts getting hotter and hotter. There's less and less blooms, especially if we start, you know, not getting as much rainfall. In July, we hit a period called dearth, where there's not a ton of flowers for the bees. And that's when you start to see bees around your hummingbird feeders, around trash cans, really looking for any kind of sugar type substance to take back to the hive. Then in the fall, there's another group of plants that bloom in the fall. And sometimes we can even get a second honey harvest or honey flow that happens in the fall as well. And then August, September, I'll look at my hives, decide how much honey I can safely take from the bees. We harvest the honey, and then they take a little break over winter. I take a break over winter, and we gear back up for spring.
And I didn't even realize this, but we actually have an OSU beekeeper club. So you could like do all the bees and talk about it with your friends.
Yes. So I'm actually one of the co-advisors for the OSU Beekeeping Club, and we have hives that are located here on campus. And we get together and we teach you how to inspect a hive. We also sell honey and lotion bars and lip balm that the club makes. They also participate in other activities around campus related to sustainability, planting flowers, like we talked about, those sorts of things. So the club is a really active club. That's a lot of fun. It's open to all majors, not just entomology. We have engineers, we have English majors. So it's really great to meet people around campus.
So for all of these fun things we've talked about today, Courtney, how do people get involved? Like what are your first steps if you'd like to know more about bees or take the class? Like what should they do first?
I think the first step is probably start reading. There's lots of materials out there. Our website is one. We're putting more and more materials up so that you can learn about bees, and then just be mindful, you know, be careful not to spray too much insect killer, and then make sure that you're reading the labels and actually following the labels on anything that you use in your yard. And also if you are spraying in the evening when bees are back in their hive is really helpful. So just read the labels, make sure that you're using the minimum amount of chemical that you can get by with, and plant some flowers.
Absolutely. Well, all such great information. If folks would like to sign up for the little class, how do they do that? Just go to the website?
So we don't have the class available yet. So I have a student, that's his project that we're working on together. So it will be available soon. Right now we have some fact sheets with interactive budgets on how much it costs to get started with beekeeping. We have some fact sheets that will be coming up soon regarding how to harvest honey and then the regulations and rules surrounding honey harvest, as well as break-even calculations and cash flow statements. So all of that will be coming up on the web. And then I would probably say within the next 6 months, we should have the online course nearing completion. It will have to go through peer review, and then it'll be ready for everyone to take.
And most important thing, call somebody if you see bees.
If you see bees, reach out to a local beekeeping club. They're really active on Facebook, and they will come get those bees.
All right, Courtney, thank you so much for visiting with us.
Thank you.